Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Ryan Snyder, and on today's episode of the Blue White Illustrated Recruiting Podcast, Sean Fitz and I are going to get into the big win at Auburn, what it means for recruiting moving forward. There was also a big on 300 update this past week. Penn State now has 12 guys in the top 300, so they add a few there. We'll get into all that. A few other things as well, looking at a big official visitor coming onto campus this weekend, and I put in an RPM pick that I think you guys are going to want to hear about. Let's get into it. All right, Fitz, episode two. I try not to talk over you as much for this one. but a lot to talk about this week, man. That Auburn win, we'll start with that. I think whenever fans see a big win like that, they're going to expect, you know, big news coming. You know, guys are excited. And, of course, there are guys out there that are, down south that are keeping an eye on Penn State. We talked about Carmelo English, some other guys last week. But just – I'll just kind of start with your thoughts on what that win means. Does one win mean a whole lot in recruiting? You know, I think you and I have similar thoughts on that, but I'll start with your opinion.
Also, great to be on with you, T-shirt crew on Tuesdays. It's not as formal as when I'm on with Nate. So, the win over Auburn, obviously big, obviously something that you can drive to for momentum. But I caution people in taking too much away from it from a recruiting standpoint, because just one win is that. I mean, it's a very small sample size in an entire recruitment. Sometimes we sort of batch up recruitments and make everything uniform when it is really a case by case basis. And truth be told, one win, while it's a fantastic win on a national stage, might get yourself in front of more eyeballs. It's not going to change much in terms of earning commitments. It's not going to change much in terms of this current class earning interest. Now, what it will help is it will juice up your guys for that Ohio State weekend, that the Minnesota weekend for the whiteout, which is going to be a really, really big visit weekend for Penn State. I think you will get a little bit more interest and expand those lists from a national level. Maybe say, okay, I wasn't sure about Penn State, but it's worth taking the flight. It's worth, spending the weekend up there and making the effort to get up there. So I don't think you can take too much away from one game. And that's win or lose. I mean, that this is sort of a uniform theory that we've talked about over the years. It's one big win is great. One big loss is not going to kill you. I just don't think you can take a ton away from it. Penn State, in talking to people, in the program that we talk to, there's not this giant rush of kids that are rushing to the phone to call Penn State to talk about the win. You typically get excitement, and that's great, but you typically get the same level of kid, the same just general nucleus of who you've been talking to the entire time. So I think it's very interesting. It's great to take whatever momentum you can get, but I think you also have to set the expectation at an acceptable level where it's not going to turn around and you're not going to get three or four commits based off of one game.
Yeah. The Minnesota game will be very interesting to me, with that being at night, of course. Can they get some Southern guys, maybe guys committed elsewhere too, guys we're not really talking about at the moment. Can they get them up maybe for a surprise official visit or two? Maybe a group from a school comes up for an unofficial visit. That's why, let's be honest, that's a big reason why this whiteout game is Minnesota this year, I think, because of the recruiting impacts. And obviously it's a school-wide decision, but I think if we could talk to James about that, I think it's a big part of why he wanted it like that.
Well, you've got kids that are going to come to or try to come to Ohio State regardless, because Ohio State is such a drawing power. You get that with the Michigan game every year, too. You get that when a team like Auburn comes in. So you're going to have kids at that game, whether it's a whiteout or not. The Minnesota game, well, Minnesota, pretty good team, obviously, going to be hampered. Chris Altman-Bell went down with a knee injury. So their best receiver is going to be out. But Minnesota is going to have a pretty decent record coming into it, but you set that game at night, you give it the whiteout title, and all of a sudden it's a destination. You know, kids want to see the whiteout. We talked about this last week. Kids think the whiteout is the Ohio State game when actually, you know, it's going to be the Minnesota game. That's going to be something to a bridge to cross for us at some point. But yeah, you give yourself an opportunity to have two marquee weekends right in a row. The Ohio State noon kick plays into this as well, because you're not going to get many kids. You know, it's going to be really tough for a kid, say, playing at IMG to get on a flight on either late Friday night, early Saturday morning, get into State College, which is dreadful to travel to from around the country anyway. So, you know, you've got a lot of things working against you for the Ohio State game. So give yourself some time, get yourself an opportunity to spread things out, have guys in all day, get your coaches a little bit more time with them than you typically would. And you've got an opportunity there for that Minnesota game. But for now, it's this regard going back to Auburn, it's you're a 3-0 team. There's a big difference in a lot of people's eyes from a 3-0 team, which can turn into a 5-0 team going into the Michigan game, than a 2-1 team. I mean, you're giving yourself sort of building, you know, it's like, if you're playing one of those old video games and you're working up like an old wrestling game and you're working up to a special move, you just keep giving yourself that juice and all of a sudden you get to your finisher or what have you. I sound like Josh Pate doing all these wrestling comparisons. So yeah, sorry about that, Pate. That's another story for another day. No, I mean, I think that's the way you get into it, is you just build up that juice. And then when you get to October, you have an opportunity to get these kids on campus. That's when you capitalize.
I didn't expect the Nintendo WWF No Mercy analogy in today's podcast, but I like it.
N64, those were great, man. Either could be the No Mercy, could be WCW or WCW NWO Revenge.
Yes, both great that games. One.
Yeah.
But anyway, there were two notable recruits at Auburn this weekend. Stanton Rammel, of course, he's committed to Michigan State. He was very interested in Penn State. He did pop up at Auburn. And then Dakari Nelson, too. Sean, I'll throw Stanton at you. Do you think there's going to be much there? I mean, he's been going to Auburn all the time, and he didn't commit to Auburn. So, like, I still think he's probably going to have Michigan State. But let's see what happens to Michigan State this year, too, after that Washington game. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, first off, you watch that Auburn game, and you wonder who's going to be recruiting those kids down the stretch. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You know, when you talk about a guy like Stanton Rammel, who's not far from there, I think grew up an Auburn fan, if I'm correct. They're very quiet, but they've kept the lines of communication open. Michigan State, you know, you could probably have the same conversation with Rammel that we're having about Dakari Nelson. Michigan State's a long way away from Alabama. Pennsylvania's a long way away from Alabama. So you've got these natural things working against you, and you know he's going to go down and check out some other schools. He's been to Penn State twice, and that didn't put him over the first time. So it's going to be tough. But if Michigan State does struggle and you see something, you know, you see an opportunity, if you're the Penn State staff, to try and work some things out and try and make some things happen, then you're going to do that, especially at offensive tackle, when there's very, very few names on the board. We talked a little bit about that, or I talked a little bit about that in my S zone on Monday. Very few names on the board. You would like to have a bigger pool to pull from. It's just it's not happening right now. So yeah. That's one thing where you could sort of twist that back into Penn State's favor, but I would have a tough time seeing Stanton Rammel ending up at Penn State. I think they're probably like a third school here. You got Michigan State, you've got the hometown school with Auburn, and then, you know, Penn State is kind of a medium between those two.
Yeah. So one thing I will note with Rammel that I learned through that process is he's from New York. I think it's Rochester or Binghamton, I believe.
Yeah,
it's
definitely one of those two. Upstate New York. Yeah.
He moved to Alabama during COVID to keep playing football. So that is something to keep in mind. I'm not sure if he's an Auburn fan. I think there might be something to that. I kind of faintly remember that. Somebody told
I was
me
thinking
that
he was
point,
an Auburn fan, but I couldn't. Again, it's not a lifelong type thing, but he's right there. And I think he would side on that Auburn-Alabama battle with the Auburn side. Because he's just been there. He's been there a ton. Yeah.
And that's what's so interesting to me is, like, everybody thought it was Auburn the whole time, but just because of all the visits, but really, you know, I think Michigan State, I mean, obviously he's committed now, but it was becoming clear that Michigan State was the school there. Anyway, Dakari Nelson is the one I think we really need to talk about. And I was able to catch up with Dakari, what was it, on Sunday, I believe it was. Look, I mean, he's been very honest about the fact that, yes, he's kept the staff in the loop with all these visits. I shouldn't say all these visits. It's only been two. Went to Ole Miss in July. Now went to to Auburn for the Penn State game this past weekend. He told me that his only other visit in the works is the whiteout game. I kind of asked around about that in an informal setting too, to other people. And that does seem to be the consensus there, is that the whiteout game is the only one that he's currently planning. We'll see if he ends up at another visit or two. What's interesting is just that before he committed, taking visits during the season was a consistent theme in every interview that I had with him. But he's also made it very clear he loved what he saw this past weekend. He said he was sitting with all the Auburn fans, and when Penn State would score, he'd jump and try to be subtle about it, which I thought was interesting. And a good relationship with Dex. Of course, James Franklin and Dex were down to watch him this past weekend. They got a big win. Dakari told me he had about 14 tackles, and I believe he had a 96-yard pick six, something like that. So obviously a great performance with Penn State's coaches there in attendance. But right now, I think there's reason to feel good. Sean, of course, you wrote about that, a couple days leading into the Auburn game, that Penn State feels good. And everything I've been told is Penn State feels good. So I don't think there's a reason for fans to worry, but I also wouldn't be totally shocked if he did end up visiting another school at some point this season.
Yeah, I mean, that distance isn't changing. You know, that's a long way from here to Alabama. So you've always got that in the back of your mind. But he went there on Saturday, and you couldn't ask for a better showing from the Penn State defense. You know, I'm sure he had a smile on one side of his mouth, because that was close to ideal for Penn State for that to happen. Still going to, keep an eye on him. But, we talked last week in our trimmings piece about, Penn State actually felt pretty good. He wanted to see them in person. He wanted to see them in the whiteout game that he told you that he was coming to. So probably feel better than I should, better than I usually do, based on the distance there, the fact that he's only been up to campus, I think, just twice. But he did come on his own dime last year for the Rutgers game. So, I mean, more power to him. I think that the interest, the fact that he's been a leader on the recruiting trail is certainly a positive for Penn State. And, as out of region commits go, you're feeling pretty good about that one.
I've talked about that Rutgers trip before. He and his family drove from Mississippi to Penn State with babies in the car, just up for the game and right back. Can you imagine? What was that game? Was it like 14-7 or 20-7? I don't know. It was a low scoring.
That was the flu game. That was, I mean,
so anyway, just
good for him. Yeah.
Can you imagine that drive?
That's legitimate interest right there.
Right. So it's good that, it ended up working out for Penn State so far. And I think there's reason to feel good, but obviously a couple more months to go. Let's transition into the On 300. This will be a topic, I think, on our boards here for the next couple of days. And there's good and bad with it, depending on how you want to look at it. I think more positive than negative. Penn State had 10 On 300 players coming into this week. They now have 12. That's obviously a massive positive. I did have some people asking me, why haven't they moved up in the rankings? I just want to clarify, our rankings are the On 3 consensus. They are based off of what 24/7, Rivals, ESPN, and On3 have. So obviously the On 300 only impacts a quarter of that whole ranking system. So that's why they're still at number 12. I think some people still get confused with that, but I want to make sure I clarify that. I'll go into just, I don't want to list off all these guys. I will start with Javen Williams. He, no change there for Javen. He remains Penn State's only five-star player. I was just out to watch Javen this past weekend. Man, that was fun to watch. If you guys saw my Twitter feed, he had a massive hit on this poor number six. I felt bad for the kid, although he did kind of start a little bit of ruffled some feathers, I guess you'd say, before the game. So I won't get into the details, but Javen got a massive hit on this kid. It kind of went viral this past weekend, and a lot of people picked that up. But man, just the way he pulls, the way he moves is so impressive. Is he going to be a tackle down the road? I think he's going to probably be more of a guard, man. The more I watch him, as well as he moves, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, of course, he has the length to play. Here's this hit I'm talking about. I feel bad for this kid. Oh, God. I just got to watch Javen this past weekend. It was a fun experience. Great kid. And some nice clips there for fans to watch. But just a couple others. Alex Birchmeier, I'll stop with this one, because Birchmeier, I think, was the one that grabbed most people's attention. He was previously number 29. And being at number 29 puts you right on the cusp of being a five-star player. He drops to 60 overall, which, of course, now solid, obviously a great four-star player, high four-star. But he's probably not going to end up being a five-star. My talk with Charles Power was pretty simple. He thinks a lot of other interior offensive linemen have caught up to Birchmeier, which it makes sense in some degree. I'm not watching all these other guys, but the one thing Birchmeier had on these guys in the past year or two was his early advancement. I mean, he was so well from a technique perspective above these guys. That was Charles Riesing for moving him down. He really just had other guys kind of moved up more than anything. Sean, just kind of your thoughts on it. Obviously, it's a little bit below what 24/7 some other sites have, but he's now number 61, and I think he's going to be probably firmly in that 50, 60 kind of range here to end out this class.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of splitting hairs in the middle of that top 100. I'm a big fan of Birchmeier in terms of I think he's a safe prospect, but a little bit different. We talked so much about Landon Tengwall being a safe prospect and being advanced and all that kind of stuff. But Birchmeier, I think, a little bit more athletic. He's got the wrestling background, of course, and the wrestling background keeps him at 285 or under. So he's still got room to grow and sort of be shaped in the way that Penn State wants to shape him. So am I a fan of the drop? I get it. I'm not a huge proponent of dropping him that far, but yeah, I can see why you would take that approach. I mean, he's got good numbers, got good shuttle numbers, which you know, you're talking about an interior guy all the way, so you want to see some short area quickness in a relative form, not compared to receivers and things like that. But I mean, it kind of probably all levels out in the end. I think he's a top 50-ish player, and putting him at number 60 is not an insult. I mean, that's the thing. None of these rankings are an insult. I mean, you talk about a three-star player. Three-star players are pretty damn good. That's kind of my take on Birchmeier. Looking around, Tony Rojas moved up. He had another big weekend on the offensive side of the ball and on defense as well. But you know that they don't keep stats as well on the defensive side of the ball. Rapelier moved up, Joey Schlaffer moved up. So that was one that caught my attention. He's up to number 234. I didn't realize he was 253 to begin with. So he's
number three in the state now.
I saw his tweet this morning and I had to double check to make sure. Unfortunately, Tamir Robinson without playing and coming off of a major knee injury, that's going to be something that he has to deal with. And it's going to be something that I hate to say will affect his projection, but you know, he's going to have to recover and be the same player after a knee injury. And not everybody does that. Anthony Donka is the really interesting one to me. 272 total projection, having a really great year at Light Ridge. You know, especially on the defensive side of the ball, getting the quarterback. Yeah, those are kind of my takeaways from this. I think it's a really good group to have 12 in the top 300. I think for a class that doesn't have a ton of momentum right now, and you see Zion Tracy on your screen if you're viewing on YouTube, he's in there at 253, a lot because of his numbers and things like that. But it's a really good, really strong group. Probably not the early impact that the 2022 class had, but that class is going to set a really high bar for guys that are going to come in and make an impact right away.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Now, as we've seen over the last 3 weeks, of course. So a couple things I'll add there real quick. The Tamir Robinson thing, as you said, Charles made it pretty clear. It's like, look, we're watching elite linebackers progress every week. And it's just, as much as they don't want to move guys down, it's really hard to justify it when, look, Tamir missed, I think, still like half of last season as well, right? I mean, I thought it was, played a handful of games. And so it's, you know, you're talking about if he doesn't come back this year, which is still kind of up in the air, he's working out, let's see how it plays out. I mean, you're talking about maybe only if he doesn't come back, you're talking about like five games over the course of the last 2 years. And then you're watching, obviously, there's a lot of good linebackers across the country, their progress. Yeah, that had a big impact on that. I mean, Charles made it very clear. If he comes back and plays well, he'd like to potentially move Tamir back up. The one thing Tamir has is that length, and there's not a lot of length nationally this year at linebacker. That's something Charles has been searching for in these rankings. Zion Tracy, we've talked about these numbers that he's put up, elite athleticism. And then, you know, his length is better than, I think we talked about this last week, Sean. His length is better than what most people understand. You know, he's not that Joey Porter from a height perspective, but his reach and those things are pretty good. So that stands out. Charles really likes his move to corner. He primarily was a wide receiver in the past, so he thinks that move to corner, when you add in those testing numbers and the length and the film he's seen so far, that's a big reason behind that move. He's now a four-star player. And then Donko, man, he's always had the frame. He's always had the strength and athleticism. You know, now he's just starting to put it together from a technique perspective. And Charles was saying, you know, obviously Javen and Birchmeyer, they're in a difference here, being top 100 guys. But Donko, man, he's just now really kind of starting to put it together. And if he can continue to progress on that, Phil Troutwine's going to have himself three excellent offensive linemen, and maybe a fourth if he can get one down the road. But Charles really likes what he's seen from those guys. And but 12. I mean, if you would have told me they would have had 12 top 300 guys, what, back in May or so, I probably would have bet against it, if I'm being honest with you. So I think it's pretty good for Penn State. Well, especially when you got to June then too, it looked like they were going to have like 16, 17 guys, of course, or July, I guess we should say. But that's the ups and downs of recruiting, guys. And I think so far, you know, with the top 12 class, 12 guys inside the On300, it's a pretty good class overall. There is one other guy we need to talk about in the On300. He's not committed to Penn State right now, but he's coming up this weekend. Edwin Joseph, top athlete out of Chaminade, Madonna. Sean and I were working on this last week. I kind of hinted at it in the podcast that he might be up on campus soon. We wrote a story on, was it Sunday night, confirming that he will be up this weekend. Big visit here. He's going to be a wide receiver, I think, for Penn State. They're trying to figure out how important wide receiver is compared to running back and some other positions. They only have a handful of scholarships left, of course. But getting him up, especially after that Miami offer, after a Florida State offer, after a Louisville offer, all of which are to play cornerback, by the way, Penn State needed to get him on campus to keep momentum going. They're going to get that chance this weekend. Sean, what are your thoughts?
He's a popular dude these days. Got a ton of interest from actual, you know, the Florida school. Two of the big three offered this week, or last week, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Having a great senior year, doing a lot of that as a playmaker on offense. But I can see the appeal of putting him at corner. Penn State has been recruiting him for a long, long time as a receiver. It's funny, man. Some of these guys that you maybe put in a lower tier just all of a sudden just pop out on their senior film and go from a guy that was Penn State and Utah. I mean, tell me how that makes sense. Kid from South Florida, Penn State and Utah are the two schools. And then all of a sudden he's a very popular target. And, you know, I think some other big schools are still taking a look as well. So Edwin Joseph, to get him up on campus finally, they had talked about getting him up for the whiteout game for a while. And then all of a sudden they kind of forced their hand with all these other offers. So get him on campus as soon as you can. Jaywon Sider's got a great relationship, not only at that school, but with Joseph as well. So you're gonna see what happens. I mean, you're gonna see if those long-term relationship building skills play out on this one.
Yeah. And the other one big thing to note with this weekend too, compared to whiteout weekend, is that Chaminade Madonna plays on Thursday. So that's a big part of this too. You can get him up semi early on Friday, probably early afternoon, something like that. And it just gives the staff all of Friday to really hang out with him, get to know his family. I interviewed Edwin, like I said, on Sunday. You know, his big thing was, I feel comfortable with the staff. I know Coach Stubbs. I know Sider. I'm talking to Franklin all the time. My family doesn't really know them too much yet. So that'll be massive. The good thing is Penn State probably does as good of a job with that as anybody out there when it comes to taking care of families on official visit. Not that obviously that's always important for all these schools, but I don't know how many players we've talked about, you know, love that part of how much their family gets taken care of during these trips.
Yeah. If you're Penn State, you're hoping that relationship and the comfort level can overcome the distance, because that's going to come into play at mm-hmm. some point. You're going to see how hard it is to get to State College, not only for Joseph for just a weekend, but for a family on a football weekend. That's something you have to take into account. But yeah, like I said, they've done a great job in, you know, if that kid's in Virginia, he's probably already in the class, but they've done a great job of sort of setting the base and setting the table. And they have had success like that with Florida kids in the past couple of cycles. And, you know, you see a couple of guys that are, you know, coming up from Florida and playing right away and being comfortable. So I think that's really what you have to push if you're Penn State, because he is going to check out these other schools. I think he's been to Miami a handful of times, you know, since the season.
Twice.
Yeah. So that's a handful for some. You never know. Some small hand for some people. But
I'll be curious. One thing I'll say here, Sean, I'll be curious to see if he goes visits Florida State. He hasn't talked about that yet with me. He did say he wants to go to Louisville for maybe an unofficial and then an official later. Utah still wants to get him up for an official. His timeline seems to be down the road. But there's so much talk about Miami. We'll see about that. You know, as you said, I think Miami should probably be considered the favorite there at the moment. He flat out said, like, distance from home isn't going to be an impact, but the fact that I can constantly visit Miami probably will impact me. So I appreciated that honesty. I thought it was, that's what I would expect him to say, but not every recruit says that, if I'm being blunt. One thing I'll say, just Ohio weekend doesn't look like it's going to be much of a visitor weekend. I think this is who we're going to be focused on. Maybe a couple committed guys, but right now it looks like mainly just a handful of potential walk-on guys coming up. We'll see where that progresses later in the week. But right now, I think Edwin Joseph is going to be the main guy. I think Javen Williams said he's going to come up, maybe one or two other commits, but looks like a pretty down week. I would expect Northwestern to probably be a little bit down, although it's a 3:30 kick now. Maybe they can get some more guys up for that. But go ahead, John.
Yeah, it's just MAC opponent, noon kick. I mean, just kind of set the table for, and it's not the Ohio was a little boost because of the Lemming thing. So, and it was the home opener. So there's not much from a recruiting standpoint, there's not much going for it. And that's fine. I mean, you're going to have games like this. They always have games like this. And, you just hope that when you host a 2025 or 2026 kid, maybe he turns into something. This becomes one of his core memories in his recruiting.
Mm-hmm. It's also why I'm heading off to see Quentin Martin on Friday night. You guys can keep an eye on those recruits for me. I will be driving back late night from Pittsburgh. He's playing Thomas Jefferson, by the way. This is like a pretty big game. Quentin's been telling me for months, this is the game I got to attend. Bell Vernon, Thomas Jefferson. So looking forward to seeing what he can bring on Friday night. Actually,
I hope you can go viral, man. So.
Hey, I didn't expect that to happen. I mean, I knew it was a massive hit, but a lot of people took notice of that. All right, big news. RPM. Sean, you've already put one in. I'm joining you now. Kevin Haywood. Guys, this kid's coming to Penn State. At least I think he is. Sean thinks he is as well. 6'7", 280, offensive tackle prospect out of Archbishop Wood. I'm jumping on the bandwagon with Sean. A few of our other colleagues have done so as well. I just think it's a matter of time here, and I think it could be a little bit sooner than later. Sean, just kind of what are your thoughts with Haywood here? I think we both totally agree that this is Penn State's to lose.
You just don't like to leave things open to interpretation, do you? Really anything can happen. He's got some good offers so far, and I think some more schools. I mean, he's just getting his feet under him as a high school player, as a starter at tackle, and so far looks really good doing so. He came up to camp twice for Penn State this summer, earned an offer there, and now that you've got it on tape, you're feeling pretty good about it. Penn State's pushing. I said when they put in the pick that he was in no hurry. In talking to some people, they think it might be sooner than they think. So, you got Cooper Cousins in the boat. If you can push Kevin Haywood across the board or across the line, then you're in a really good spot there. So I agree with your pick here. Obviously I've already put mine in. It's the type of guy that you want to lock up. And I mean, this is a big kid. He's 6'7" plus. He's still growing. He's definitely a bona fide tackle. So you always want to get as many of those as you can get. And, you sometimes see guys that are offered early that maybe aren't on the target list. This is a guy that seems to be trending up.
I'm pulling a T Frank here. He always does this to me, and throwing a question that we didn't discuss before. Any other 2024s that you're thinking about putting a pick in for? I mean, I know it's still really early, but are there a couple other guys you'd be interested in? Just curious what your thoughts on there.
I have a pick in for Dom Nichols, and I think those are the two that you just look at and you say these two make sense. Given where they're at right now, I don't think there's a you know, an urge to move forward for a lot of these kids. They want to see games. They want to maybe check out those junior days in the off season. So it's just a matter of what's in your backyard and how interested those kids are. I mean, you remember playing NCAA 13 or whatever, and some guys that you would offer and they commit right away. I mean, those are the type, that's a Cooper Cousins type thing, you know, and there's not a ton of them hanging around that are in your echelon of where you're recruiting right now. And I think that that's really something to keep in mind. So those easy ones, quote unquote, nothing's ever easy in recruiting, but those easy ones are few and far between, especially in the internet era when these guys want to have offers. These guys want to see schools and they want to check out things and do photo shoots and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think nobody really screams, I'm coming to Penn State right now, but that's something that they're working on. And that's something that they're doing fine with. I mean, I don't look at this 2024 class and say, and panic because there's only one guy in it so far. I think they're doing a good job in setting the table. And again, those evaluations continue. I mean, like I said a minute ago, there are guys that have offers right now who have played the first month of their season, and Penn State's and a lot of schools are just kind of like, okay, well, we're just gonna move on to the next guy, and mm-hmm. maybe something will happen with someone else on the board. So it's an ever evolving process. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing right now with the 2024 class.
All right. Sorry for putting you on the spot. I had to do it.
This is a good question.
That's all really for me today. I don't know, Sean, if you have any other final thoughts on just the Auburn game or looking ahead for the season with the team. You know, we're starting to get some guys talking about the whiteout visits, but we'll hit that up in weeks to come. But, you know, I just, man, that was a massive win this past weekend. I didn't see 41-12 coming. I told T. Frank on the podcast, no way they win by 3 touchdowns. I look like an idiot. But yeah, man, I don't know. Just any other final thoughts you got?
No, I think that's a great way to end it. You looking like an idiot. I wanted to pick a blowout last week. I put the text up on Twitter. I wanted to pick a blowout last week. I just couldn't do it. But yeah, I think Penn State's going to be benefiting from that win, and it's going to be more of a slow burn than just a quick thing. We talked about that at the start, but, yeah, other than that, I like your Moody Culture shirt. I'm a big fan of what they do. A t-shirt is great, as I mentioned. So, but no, it's great to do that. Like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and check out the $1 special. It's not going to be around much longer. In fact, I'm looking at the schedule right now. It's not going to be around very long at all. So definitely check us out. Had an S-Zone yesterday. We've got a ton of stuff. And really, this crew, I think, doing great things as from a coverage standpoint. I don't think you're going to get coverage like this anywhere else.
One of these days, I'll remember to ask people to like the video before we end the video. T. Frank, I'm sorry, buddy. But that'll do it for us today on the Blue White Illustrated Recruiting Podcast. Like I said, we probably won't have a whole lot to talk about coming out of Ohio. I'm looking forward to go seeing Quentin Martin this upcoming weekend. And man, the schedule is setting up well for Penn State. That Minnesota-Ohio State game looks like it's going to be pretty fun. But that'll be it for us today. And appreciate it, guys. Thank you.